Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, live from Morio's Restaurant. We're here every single Wednesday at 6 p.m. Tonight we're doing something very special. The number one team in the nation is coming to the Dome this weekend, and we have tickets to the 100 level right by the 15-yard line for Syracuse versus Florida State. So make sure you come up here and sign your name up, and every single person who puts their name up here will be in for our drawing that will happen between 6 and 8 p.m. tonight for these two tickets, 100 level, Syracuse, Florida State. Of course, as always, I'm here with Rob Drummond, who played for the Syracuse Orange, as well as the NFL and the CFL, has won a championship, knows what it takes to be an undefeated Syracuse team, and of course, I'm Dan Tatora here with you from Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora. So we'll start with the fact that Rob Drummond and I both grew up in Central New York, yet when it gets cold outside, I'm warm right now. I'm having like hot flashes, but you're always cold.
I stay cold, but I'm used to it. It's no big deal.
Now, you've been in this weather. You've grown up here. You decided to play at Syracuse. The other school you were looking at besides Syracuse was Penn State when you were getting recruited. You don't like cold weather, but you've been in the cold for a long time. Is there ever a chance that you're going to leave here eventually? I know you have sons that are growing up right now.
Nah, you know, it's just adaptation. That's the one thing about life. You know, you just learn how to adapt to certain situations that you don't like and just live with it. You know, it's just Syracuse is cold. I understand that. It's warm during the winter, summertime, but during the winter it's cold. But I just get used to it, you know, so it's adaptation.
Now, as far as adaptation, Syracuse is going to be without their starting quarterback, Terrell Hunt, 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured fibula. Depending on how that injury heals, depending on the time it takes, depending on his body personally, could be maybe even longer that he's going to be out. How do you see Syracuse moving forward without Terrell Hunt? Do you think that this is a guy that they couldn't afford to lose, or do you feel that this is a team that has the talent to still rally?
You know what? AJ has to step up. Austin has to step up. You know, at any given point, when I was a freshman in Syracuse, a lot of the starting running backs went down, whether it be injury, whether it be a Harold game with academic ineligibility. And my number was called. And as a true freshman, I came in and I did well at Syracuse. So it's time for the young guys to step up and show us what they can do and show us what the future for Syracuse holds.
When you see a guy like Terrell Hunt go out in a game, obviously the offense has struggled the last few games for Syracuse. It had issues against Notre Dame. It obviously had issues. First game that they didn't score a touchdown this season was the last game against Louisville. So with Terrell going out, is it as big of a blow, even though he's a starting quarterback, having your offense get progressively worse? Do you miss him as much as another guy because of the fact that, granted, he was the starting quarterback, but still the offense wasn't doing what they needed to do?
You know what? Honestly, it wasn't as if he was playing that great this year. You know, he had moments, he had spurts. Me personally, looking at him, he was aggression. I mean, he took a step back from what he did last year. You know what? But at the end of the day, you have to go out there and it's a game of football. You have to play the game of football, whether Terrell's in there, whether AJ's in there, whether Austin's in there, no matter who's in there. You still have to go out there and play the game.
When you look at Austin Wilson, who's the first guy we'll talk about here with Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora, live from Morio's, once again, Florida State and Syracuse tickets. We have a pair of them for 100 level, 15-yard line to go see the number one team in the nation and a team that is 21-0, won the last national championship. Going into this game, Austin Wilson has the most game experience. What have you seen from him as far as what you like, maybe dislike? He's had his opportunity. He played the Villanova game. He obviously played in the Louisville game as well. What can you say about Austin Wilson?
He's a very, very good pocket quarterback. Little rusty in the footwork and things of that nature, you know, and getting the plays off and being able to have mobility. But he's an adequate quarterback at the position right now. You know what? This young man's time to step up. It's both these young men's time to step up. At any given point, injuries are a part of the game. I try and tell it to even my children and anybody I coach all the time. Injuries are a part of the game. So all injury means is another person is given an opportunity to be able to go out there and prove himself. It's time for these young men at quarterback to prove himself because they are the future. Terrell Hunt has one more year. Eventually, after that, next year, he will be gone. So these are the young men that will be taking over for him. So it's time for them to step up, go out there, play a relaxed game. I know it's against the number one country on the team, but it doesn't matter because that's why the game will play. The game is going to be a winner. It's going to be a loser. You know, but at the end of the day, just go out there and give your heart and soul. Play the game like you're capable of playing.
When you see a guy like Austin Wilson, obviously, like you said, more of a pocket passer, not wanting to take off and run with the ball, he did lead a scoring drive in the Villanova game. He did help Syracuse win a game that was very difficult, and ultimately Riley Dixon in a trick play won it for Syracuse. But still, to know what he did, to know he could come out in the second half, know he was going to be out there, know there was no Terrell for the rest of the game, and to do what he did and lead a scoring drive and get them into the end zone, I think it says a lot about who he is. And granted, it was against Villanova, but it doesn't matter. I mean, this is a guy who literally had zero experience. So does that give you some positive going into it, knowing that he already has figured out how to kind of learn on the fly?
You know, whether I have positive or not, it really doesn't matter. That young man has to have confidence in himself. You know, as a former player, I can remember myself going out there against Mississippi State. My first game as a true freshman. I'm an 18-year-old kid down in Starkville, Mississippi. There's 80,000 fans sitting in the stands, and here I am, a national television player for Syracuse University. And I just remember just sitting there being so nervous, and Coach Mack walked over to me. He's like, you know what, young man, relax. He's like, you deserve to be here. You're here for a reason. And it relaxed me, and it calmed me so much. At any given day, you know, whatever Wilson does, you know, what are we going to say? He made a rookie mistake. You know what? So we're going to praise him for even the mistakes he made, because he's a young player out there playing. He knows this. So he can go out there and play relaxed football. He can just go out there and be the best possible athlete, the best possible person he can possibly be. And any mistakes he makes, you know what? We're going to chalk it up to him being a young player. And if he goes out there and play great, it's going to be, wow, this young man made a great play. So he's in a win-win situation. And trust me, they both know that.
When it's this type of season where they start 2-0, they're 2-3 now, you're playing the number one team in the country, you're going on the road against Wake Forest, you're going on the road against Clemson, NC State has played well this year, they got them at home, Duke has continued to play well under David Cutcliffe, and then outside of that, you have Pittsburgh and Boston College, who have been longtime rivals of Syracuse, both on the road. So there's no easy road from here on out. How do you view the season now? Is it a season where there's still that thought of getting to a bowl game, or is it now just, hey, let's try some things, let's be creative, let's be inventive, and let's just see what we can get going?
You know what, personally, as an outsider looking in now, because I'm a former player, not a current player, but I remember in 86, we started the season off 0-4. And just the frustration, just the tension and everything in the locker room, for the simple fact that we knew we were better than an 0-4 start to a season. But you know what? It got to the point where we told ourselves, like, you know what, guys? Let's just go out there. You know, we may win the, you know, lose the battle, but we're going to win the war. But the simple fact that we're going to beat that team up no matter what we did. So we went out there and we just physically punished the teams we played against. And you know what? And we ended up turning the season around. Syracuse has to get into a mindset of just being able to go out there and stop getting pushed around. You know what? You know, they're getting bullied right now by all these teams, because all these teams think that they can just step on Syracuse. Until they stand up for themselves, until they go out there and, like some of our coaches used to say, punch them in the mouth. I don't literally mean punch them in the mouth, but I mean physically just take it to them. They're going to keep getting pushed around. But if they just go out there, and they may lose this game to Florida State, let Florida State, when they walk up the field, understand and realize what Syracuse University football is about. When we played against Auburn, yes, there was a 16-16 tie, but every single player from Auburn, from the top of that roster to the bottom of that roster, will tell you that's the most physical team we played all year. The following year, we played another, the SEC champ, LSU, you know, in a Hall of Fame bowl, and the exact same thing. We ended up trouncing them, and they said after that game, we were the most physical team they played all year. And here we are, what they call Yankees, Northerners. We went down there and took it to these guys. That's what Syracuse has to get back to, being a physical, dominant, hardworking, blue-collar football team.
When you talk about the physicality of Syracuse, once again, Wake Up Call with Dan Storer here at Borio's Restaurant Live. We're here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. talking Syracuse football. When you look at this team being a physical team, I think it's clear that the linebackers, Marquise Hodge, Cameron Lynch, Dyshon Davis, they got the memo. Wayne Williams, nose tackle, he got the memo. Darrell Eskridge got the memo. But you look at the memo, and then you shorten it to the M.O. What is the M.O. of this Syracuse defense right now in your mind?
You know what? I used to, from the beginning of the season, I called them Jekyll and Hyde. You didn't know which team was going to show up. Was it a team against Villanova, or was it a team against Central Michigan? I mean, I can just remember back to being at Cornfield, we were playing with Coach Mack back in the late 80s, mid to late 80s. And most teams will practice their first team defense against their second team offense and vice versa. The second team, the first team offense is the second team defense. We refuse to do that. Our first team defense would go against our first team offense, and we would go out there and just punish each other. You know, but you know what? It made us better. And he would let us do that for 2 days. We'll do that on Monday, and we'll do that on Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday were basically days of rest for us to heal because we beat each other up so much. But you know what? It made us that much of a better team. It made us that much of a tougher team. And it made us that much of a close-knit group where we made each other better. You know, and maybe that's what Syracuse needs to get to right now. I'm pretty sure they don't do that right now because it's the first thing we're going to send these defense, but maybe that's what they need to get back to.
Big words coming from Rob Drummond. Get physical by going ones against the ones in practice. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I feel that you can't make the ones on your team better going against your twos because your twos are twos for a reason. Wake Up Call with Dan Storer, Borio's Restaurant Live. We'll be back in just a little while here. And once again, come up here, and all you have to do is put your name in for these tickets. Two 100-level seats, 15-yard line, Syracuse, Florida State, number one team in the country against a Syracuse team who's still searching for that identity. We'll be back here. Rob Drummond and Dan Storer.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary, or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant. Here with Rob Drummond from Syracuse, the NFL and the CFL, and of course Dan Satora. Here with you for over a decade covering Syracuse sports and sports all around the country, national and international, as well as local and regional. I know a lot of people sitting here tonight are very upset with the Syracuse team, and it's understandable, but I don't think anybody's more upset than maybe Rob and I, but I think the guy that's more upset than anybody here in this room is George McDonald, the offensive coordinator, who made a statement last night when I was at the interview session that if he had known 18 games in that he would be demoted, he would have never left Arkansas. Now, since then, he allegedly put out a text message, apologized for that. Scott Schaefer this morning said, we talked, he apologized to me, he's good, but like you were saying to me when we were talking the last couple minutes ago here, Rob, that you can't unsay something, especially when you say it out in the public. So how do you view this whole situation with George McDonald? Because whether or not an apology happened, I don't think that he's sorry about what he said.
You know, you can't ring a bell. And the simple fact that he said that, he's frustrated. I mean, as the Syracuse is, as the offense is, as the defense is, as the coaches are, you know, it's a tough situation from as I said, from an outsider and a former player looking in. I mean, some of the play calling that he did there was suspect. It truly was. Syracuse has a problem. They don't have outside receivers that can get deep and stretch the field. You know, they're not running cross routes. It seems that they're going northwest, you know, thinking about football, or excuse me, east-west, and sideways instead of north-south, which is only scoring touchdowns. They're not scoring touchdowns. They need a change right now, and if this is a change that helps them, great. You know, but right now, it's going to be a frustrating situation for George McDonald, but it's a great, great opportunity for Tim Lester.
When you see George McDonald, I mean, obviously he was the offensive coordinator last year. Syracuse did some good things last year. And granted, they had Terrell Hunt last year as well. So what is the main disconnect to you? Was it the play calling or was it the personnel? Because obviously some players aren't here anymore. So do you put it more on, hey, you know what, George McDonald for the most part called some bad plays? Or do you look at it like, you know what, some of them are bad plays, but the personnel's not there to do what they need to do.
You know, at the end of the day, the players have to execute the plays that are called. You know, but you have to put down some of those plays that were called, like a toss, like you're backed up on your 1 yard line, and you run a toss sweep, but they're trying to get out of the end zone. That's on a, you know, that's on an old coordinator. You're supposed to run a dive right off tackle. You have a 230-pound back in your running back. Why are you trying to run a sweep with him? Run him right off tackle, or run him right between the guard, just to pound that ball out of there. Some of those calls were suspect. You know, so granted, the players can try and make a play and make up for the plays of the call. But a lot of times, you got to put the players in position to be successful. And he wasn't doing that.
When we look at that play, and going back to that one, the sweep that you're talking about, where Terrell Hunt pitches the ball to the right side to Adonis Meemore. Adonis, big body back. Obviously, when you're on the 1 yard line, you run straight forward. When you're on the 1 yard line, your main point is to get your offense out of the end zone. You don't want to set up in a sit. You don't want to throw the ball to your side. You don't want to do anything horizontal. You want to get vertical. You don't want a chance to pass because you've shortened the field. And it's the worst place to be on when you're on the field. When you look at Adonis and you look at that play, and that play happens and he falls down, it's been admitted by the staff that that was a bad play. You can't put it on Adonis anymore. I don't think anybody did. But were you surprised that somebody like George McDonald, who has such a good reputation and who has made good calls before, that that was the best call that he had at that time?
After I finished pretty much swearing everywhere I could think of because of the safety, I calmed down and realized and said to myself, it's like, you know, what are they trying to do? In all my years of football, when you're back to the goal line that, like that, it's basically three runs, whether it's a quarterback sneak, whether it's a dive to the running back, you're just trying to get the ball out of there. And especially the way Syracuse has been playing our offense so bad lately, you know, you want to play it safe at that point. You just want to get the ball out there because you don't want a safety and you don't want a turnover. And to run a sweep like that, you know, into a single sweeper side, where you didn't even tight into that side. It was just the offensive guard and the offensive tackle to that side. He ran a sweep to that side. So basically, the defense was designed to stop that play. Bad call. Very, very bad call by the old coordinator. You know, you can chalk it up to him just being frustrated, him just trying to make things happen, him just trying to press himself and try and get Syracuse to do something, but wrong place to call that wrong play at the wrong time.
One of the things that's been happening a lot on offense with George McDonald as the offensive coordinator was the fact that the bubble screen was being used over and over and over again. Jerome Smith, who's now in the practice squad of the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL, him and I talked after the Notre Dame game. And in that conversation, we talked about if you're going to run the bubble screen, you have to have the personnel to do it. You have to have guys that want to block. You have to have people that can catch the ball, make quick moves. The bubble screen was that was the key word, the key phrase of the first few weeks of the season. A lot of Syracuse fans upset. You obviously know a bunch of different plays, run them all, bubble screen. When you look at that type of play, what did you think about George McDonald incorporating the bubble screen? Was it a waste of a play? Did you see what he was trying to do? How did you kind of gauge it?
You know, when we have the personnel we do in Syracuse, a bubble screen is a waste of a play because a bubble screen only works if you have outside deep threats that can stretch the field and throw things. Look at the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning. They run that so well for the simple fact that their outside wide receivers can fly downfield and get right open. We don't have that at Syracuse, so the defensive backs can cheat up, and they can shut that down every single time. A good offensive coordinator, I'm not saying George McDonald's not, but a good offensive coordinator knows his personnel and knows what their capabilities are and designs an offense to fit their capabilities. And right now, this offense is not designed to fit Syracuse's capabilities.
We look at moving forward. Have you ever been on a team or known of a situation where two coaches, one's promoted and one's demoted on the same team at the same time in the same season? Have you ever been around something like that?
I've never been around a situation like that, but I've been around situations in coaching where I can tell there's tension. And just from listening to Coach McDonald talk, and just listening to the tone of his voice, and just his body language and his body posture and things of that nature, he's not happy. When the coaches are not happy, it's not a good sign going through the season.
When you look at the situation now, even though Scott Schaefer brought on guys that he knows, Scott Schaefer obviously has morals and values. He has a heart. He cares about people. Those are a lot of things that I respect him for and commend him for and appreciate the coach for. Do you think that he made the decision, and I know that we're speculating, I know that we're on the outside looking in. You know Scott personally, I do, but we can't speak for him. But just to kind of play this game here, when he says to George, I don't want you to be the offense coordinator, but I'm not going to fire you, do you think he made that decision with his head or his heart from what you know of the man that he is?
No, Scott, I think he made that decision, you know, with his head. And I say, and I mean that for the simple fact is, you know, just like everyone in this building, we all have eyes. You know, we can see what's going on with Syracuse. They're not moving the ball right now. They're not playing good football right now. Something needs to change. You know what? Right now, the defense is playing well, but the offense is putting them in situations that get them behind the eight ball. And it's not the personnel. Yes, injuries are happening. Injuries do happen. You know, but if you got, look at Wes Welker. Wes Welker's not one of the most athletic guys in the NFL, but Peyton Manning seems to put him in a position to be able to make plays. That's what Syracuse needs to do. You need to put an offense designed around these young men for them to be able to go out there and use their talents. You know, it's like trying to put a round peg in a square hole. That's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to force these young men to run an offense that they can't run. That's the exact same thing I saw Greg Robinson did, and what happened? You know what? Right now, you know, Coach Lester just has to basically take a step back, go through practice, and realize the talents of these young men, and be able to go out there and foster the talents of these young men, and design an offense, which is easy to do, but fit these young men. Little quick screens here, little quick pitches here, get the ball to them early, because they're not running by anybody. They're not fast enough. They're not athletic enough. You know, so give them little time to get the ball, be able to get down there, and just get them, let them get the ball, let them get comfortable, and just get them into a flow, a rhythm. Right now, they're not in the rhythm. Not even close. Not even in the same galaxy are they in the rhythm. So right now, they have these young men, and they're all young, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, and let them be able to go out there and believe in themselves. Right now, they don't believe in themselves.
When you're on an offense like this, and like you said, you need to build it around the talent that you have instead of trying to force them to play a system. So, and I agree with you. I think that you have to have the personnel to run the system. Jim Boeheim, in order to run a good 2-3 zone, has to have the personnel to run the system, because he's one that run the 2-3 zone forever, but it hasn't always been good. It hasn't always been a progressive thing. It hasn't always stopped other offenses. But when he has length, when he has agile guys, guys that are willing to move, willing to run, willing to make sacrifices, that's when you see that he can win these games. When the guys aren't running around, when he doesn't have the height, when he doesn't have the depth, and guys get fatigued, you see something happen. So, same case with the football team. Terrell Hunt, obviously, is a running quarterback. Now, when I talked to Tim Lester, the quarterback coach, who's now the offensive coordinator, he said to me, you got it all wrong. For people that are watching the games and paying attention to Syracuse, he said, Terrell wants to throw the ball. He said, he tells me all the time, Coach, I don't want to run it. I do it last possible situation, last possible scenario. I want to throw the ball. And we see the opposite. We see a guy that took off. Do you think that George McDonald ran him too much, didn't run him enough? I mean, obviously he's injured, but George is no longer the offense coordinator. Terrell Hunt's no longer the quarterback right now. So we could talk about the end of that era. Do you think he utilized Terrell Hunt the right way?
It's hard to say right now, because it took such a positive year last year, you know, but if I was the old coordinator, I'd sit here and I'd use my slots, and I'd put him involved 20, 30, 40 times a game if I'm going to sit there and pass the ball all the time. But the simple fact that Austin Burroughs is probably the best athlete on the football team. Get the balls in his hand. Let him run quick little short routes, quick little out routes, quick little slant routes, and just get him the ball. Get him the ball, get him the ball. Then eventually, the defense is going to have to collapse on him. What you do on offense dictates what they do on defense. You know, if Israel's trying to sit there and trying to throw the ball deep all the time, it's so easy for a defensive back to just sit there and bat it down all the time. Jared West has gotten open probably 3 or 4 times this year. Winner or what? Sixth game? Winner for a seventh game? Whatever, you know, so it's not working. And they can just sit back there because all the underneath routes aren't working. Football's played in levels. The first level, the second level, the third level, and the fourth level, which is downfield. Syracuse is not using those levels all the time because they don't have players that can threaten each of those levels. From threatening that first level and that second level over and over and over and over again, and eventually that third level and fourth level would open up, and that's the one concept he lost in being the old coordinator this year.
I think one of the things we saw with Syracuse in the first couple games, and obviously those are the only two games they won, is that, and even in the Maryland game, because we can talk about the Maryland game, there's almost 400 yards rushing on the ground. Syracuse ran the ball, passed the ball. And because they ran the ball so much and they were so successful and Maryland couldn't stop the run, when Terrell Hunt would fake the run and throw it downfield, he would complete a pass. He would have a guy open. He would have situations where he could do it. We've said it before, we say it again, it's tech smart. People call it coach speak, but it's the truth. And in all honesty, any true fan of football will know that the truth is, if you're good at the run, it'll open up the pass because you can fake it. If you're good at the pass, it'll open up the run because you can fake it. So going away from the run, did that ultimately kill this offense under George McDonald more than anything else? Because we're saying that Syracuse isn't really beating guys down the field as far as wide receivers, and Terrell Hunt obviously has had improve in throwing the ball, but is it ultimately the lack of running the ball in the last few games that killed this offense?
You know what? The funny thing about football is it's a chess game. You know, back when I played with Michael Owen, Don McPherson, Daryl Johnson, the simple fact is we ran the ball hard as you. We were a very, very physical team up front. You know, so now the DBs are looking to the backfield. The wonder, I'm going to get out in the open field, go run, they're going to have to tackle me. Daryl Johnson's going to have to get out in the open field, they're going to have to tackle him, Michael Owens, and Don McPherson. So now they're so concerned about the run, it was so easy for our receivers to run by them. Syracuse hasn't gotten to that point yet. These teams, they don't threaten anybody. They don't frighten anybody. And it's to the point where, as I said before, these receivers can't run by them. All their routes, go routes, are just straight down the field. They're not running slants. They're not running hooks. They're not running corners. They're not running anything but goes. And it's so easy for people to back to sit on that. So now I can just basically, what's called stack the box. So I can just take my two cornerbacks and cover the two wide receivers and put everybody else in the box to stop the run. And that's what teams are doing. And once you take away our run, we're so frustrated that we can't get the ball outfield. What are we trying to do? We're trying to throw a deep downfield for a lucky play. Yes, you'll get lucky. A blind so a squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. You know, so we're going to get lucky and catch one deep all the time. But what are we not doing? We are not getting it in the end zone. You know what? In order to win football games, you know what you have to do? You have to score touchdowns.
That is a very John Madden thing for you to say, Rob Drummond. Rob Drummond of Syracuse, the NFL, and the CFL, but it's the truth. And, of course, Dan Satora here with you. Wake Up Call with Dan Satora live from Borio's Restaurant. Once again, two tickets being given away to Syracuse Florida State this weekend. Number one team in the country. Come up here, sign up, and just give your name and your email. We will do the drawing later on, and you will find out if you're going to Syracuse and Florida State as Jameis Winston, Jimbo Fisher, and a team on a 21-game winning streak comes in to play Syracuse that no matter what, we can. They say there's no sure things in sports, but there's one sure thing about Saturday. Syracuse will definitely look different, and we can say that for sure. We'll be right back here in a little while from Borio's Restaurant. Once again, Wake Up Call with Dan Satora.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here. Wake Up Call with Dan Satora from Borio's Restaurant, live here every single Wednesday at 6 p.m. Rob Drummond of Syracuse CFL and the NFL. Of course, Dan Satora here with you on WakeUpCallDT.com, your Wake Up Call DT sports app that you can get for free on the Google Play Store as well as the Apple Store. You can listen anytime from anywhere, no matter who you're a fan of. I cover everybody, including Syracuse. And Rob, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like there's as many people in Borio's right now as we're in the Dome against Louisville. I think there might be less for the Florida State game. It's very tough to see this team be what you had, where in the 80s your team wins every game. You know, Auburn has to have an embarrassing game with you, and they have to tie it at the end just to find some respect for themselves. And now Syracuse is looking for an identity, and I think it's hard because Floyd Little is back with the program, and he's constantly dealing with this. You're obviously around the program, and you're dealing with it as well. But it is so hard in this day and age for them to find their identity because there is no Big East. The rivalries have changed. They're playing against the top teams in the country. And in order to get out of their own division, let alone their conference, and get into the national spotlight, you have to beat teams like Clemson, who has the best defense in the country, according to some, and Florida State, who has the best offense. So when you look at Syracuse and where they're at right now, how do you define it? How do you have a mission statement for it? And what is that mission statement right now for somebody like me that when I was growing up, I was spoiled? You know, I was spoiled to see the great players. And it's not that there aren't good players that have a capability to be great, but something is missing. So how do you define what it is right now?
You know what, personally, I know what these young men are going through. The simple fact that, as I said, as a sophomore, we started the season 0-4. And I remember just coming out for it. Yeah, I think we were playing Navy and just looking up in the stands. And I think if there were 10,000 fans in the Carrier Dome, we were lucky. And it's just it's a demoralizing feeling because, you know, as a young athlete, you know what, you're trying. I mean, you really are trying. You're just going through trials and tribulations at the time where everything's not going your way. You know, but I also know on the other end of the spectrum, the following year when we started off, we went 11-0. And playing that last game in West Virginia and just having the dome just be absolutely crowded and just not being able to hear my quarterback who's standing 3 feet from me screaming in my face calling a play. So I know both ends of the spectrum, and it's just you just have to go through a learning process of just being able to just cope with it and just deal with it. And you can't control the fans that come to the game. All you can do is just go out there as a player and just do the best you possibly can. You know what? It's, as an athlete in the field, it's a different world up in the stands. I understand that. But we're on the field just trying to do the best we can. You know, yes, we'll be positive sometimes. Yes, we'll be negative sometimes. Yes, we'll make plays sometimes. You know, yes, we won't make plays sometimes. But you just go out there, and as an athlete, just do the best you can. And hopefully the coaches can put you in the best position to do the best job that you can. Sometimes they'll make mistakes also. No one's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. We understand that. But just try and limit your mistakes. Just go out there and just be the best person. Just be the best player you possibly can be.
When you talk about it being demoralizing to look out into the stands and see people that aren't there, see people that are leaving, I think one of the hardest things for me to handle is that, and I said this today, or I said this week, pardon me, on my social media for Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, as I said, there's no place in the game for fair weather fans. If you're not going to be around for the rain, then don't bother showing up for the sunshine. How do you look at the city now, where in the third quarter with 7 minutes left, people are saying, hey, you know what, we might as well go out, let's go get something to eat, let's get out of here, after paying for that ticket? I mean, I didn't grow up in that era. Before Greg Robinson, I grew up Paul Pasqualoni, and obviously I saw everything that he was able to put together, and a bad season for Paul was a 500 season. So I'm used to the fans being loud. I'm used to the dome being loud. But you and I are both there at the Carrier Dome every game. When you see fans leaving in the third quarter, what does it do to you?
You know, I can't speak for them, but me, all I can do is talk about me personally. But me, it's just, it's frustrating me. It's frustrating to watch a team that I know is much better than that, you know, play as bad as they are. But you know what? At the end of the day, I bleed orange. I'm always going to be a Syracuse University orange. And do they upset me? Yeah. My children upset me. Doesn't mean I don't love them. I love them with all my heart. They're my orange men. I love them to death. I love them with all my heart. Are they going to make mistakes? Yes. Are they going to frustrate me sometimes? Yes, they are. But it doesn't mean I don't like my Syracuse orange. And I will still cheer for them whether they're 0-11 or they're 11-0.
As we look forward into this season, Florida State is obviously a tall order. It is the worst possible time to be playing this, but at the same time, Austin Wilson told me last night that, you know, this is obviously an opportunity that he appreciates. He said to me this quote, Austin Wilson, the only quarterback besides Terrell Hunt to play the season so far. And Austin said to me, I couldn't get more lucky than I've gotten this year. Let's look at a positive story. Let's look at the life that this man is leading now. He is a redshirt freshman. He was out last season. He's got 4 years of eligibility, including this year. And he has an opportunity that he would never have had if not for Terrell Hunt being out of this game. So a positive story to this is that Austin Wilson, a Pennsylvania kid, everybody talks about Syracuse needs to get guys from the Northeast. They need to recruit from the Northeast. They need to pull in Northeast talent. They need to show that we are talented individuals up here. Well, Austin Wilson is that. He is a Northeast quarterback. So let's talk about a positive in this world for Syracuse. How great is it to be Austin Wilson right now?
You know, what a great opportunity for that young man to be able to be on the center stage of a national televised game, to be able to play against the number one team in the country. It'll never happen again for him. You know, so all he has to do is just go out there and relax. And as I said before, I understand what it is to be, actually I was a true freshman, so I was an only 18-year-old kid playing against Division I teams on a national stage. So he just has to relax, go out there, and just let the game come to him. So you know what, it's the proverbial David versus Goliath. You know, that the team is supposed to beat him by, the line is only, I was looking at his paper today, it's like 22 points, and I started laughing at that because of all the ills that Syracuse has, with all the injuries, all the turmoil going on right now between the coaching staff, a new offensive coordinator, you know, the defense probably upset with the offense reeling, not understanding himself, Coach Schaefer frustrated, the frustrations going on in Syracuse, and Florida State just flying on all cylinders right now, being the number one team in the country, with last year's Heisman Trophy winner, just athletes from top to bottom. You know, this game should be a cakewalk, but you know what, that's why the games are played. He said to go out there, and I do remember I was a high school senior, I went to a game in 83 and watched the Syracuse University Orangemen at the time, not the Orange, they're the Orangemen, they'll always be the Orangemen to me, sit there and play a Nebraska team, and they beat Nebraska, the number one team in the country. So any given day, anything's possible, all you have to do is go out there, and that's why you play the game.
When you talk about anything being possible, I think one of the possibilities is that we could see two, if not three, quarterbacks before it's all said and done besides Terrell Hunt in this season. Mitch Kimmel, who had some positive moments in practice and in what he's shown the coaching staff, but he went down. Austin Wilson was the fourth string quarterback going into the fall, and he moved up to be the backup to Terrell Hunt. And A.J. Long, who is a true freshman, who, out of anybody else that they talk about, they say A.J. Long, he is just a gamer. He is a player. He makes plays. He figures it out. He can do it on his feet. He can do it through the air. They said that his pass efficiency has gone up in practice. But I just find it very interesting that there's a true freshman, and when the staff looks across the board, A.J. Long, the true freshman quarterback, who is told by people that he's too short, has no business playing quarterback. Somebody else did that, Doug Flutie. I think when you tell someone you're too short, you're too slow, you can't do it, if that person harnesses that, they can definitely do some huge things. What do you think about A.J. Long? Because we've had the opportunity to see him. He obviously got a lot of reps in front of the fans as well. What do you like about A.J., someone that the staff considers just truly a player?
No, very, as you said before, a gamer. Very, very athletic and, you know, understands the game of football. He's just someone who gets it. I mean, and I don't know if people understand what I mean by that. He's just got a high football IQ. And by football IQ, I mean he understands the game of football. Competition brings the best out in anybody. I mean, I remember when we were in practice and used to be and Michael Owens and Daryl Johnson in practice day in and day out, we would just compete against one another. But that would make each one of us that much better. So we would go so hard at it in practice, but the games came around, the games were easy. You know, practices were hard, the games were fun. You know, but it's just, as I said, the competition, these young men are going back and forth with each other, trying to compete for that starting quarterback spot, just makes them better. And as they get more experience, as they get more time, as they get more reps, as they get more into the flow of practices and games, they'll just get better and better and better. What a great opportunity for these young men right now. And I'm looking forward to them towards the future, because Terrell Hunt's out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. So right now, these young men are going to get the experience coming in, and next year, they're going to even push Terrell Hunt that much more.
I want to call everybody that's listening in to go down memory lane with me for a minute. Troy Nunes, R.J. Anderson. Troy Nunes wasn't good enough to play the whole game. R.J. Anderson wasn't good enough to play the whole game. But when Troy Nunes started the game, R.J. Anderson, when he came in, played well. When R.J. started the game, Troy Nunes could come in and play well. R.J. could run the ball. Troy Nunes had a great arm. We're looking at a situation right now that Austin Wilson and A.J. Long could be another sighting. It really hasn't happened since Troy Nunes and R.J. Anderson of Syracuse playing two quarterbacks in one game. What do you think about that?
No matter how good the quarterbacks are or how athletic they are or how diverse they are, They still need the receivers to be able to get open and be able to throw to them. And that's been a problem with Syracuse all year. These receivers need to get off the gym, they need to get open, and they need to give these young men lanes to throw them the ball. If they do that, these young men can be successful. If they don't do that, it's going to be a long day, a long rest of the year.
At this point, with having a young quarterback without a lot of experience, no matter who you get, Mitch Kimble, Austin Wilson, or A.J. Long, do you look at this game against Florida State, the jump off of the new era? It's a new chapter. Usually every season you turn the page and you're on a new chapter. Well, now Syracuse has two chapters in one season. You had the George McDonald, Terrell Hunt chapter. Now you have the Tim Lester, whoever else chapter. As you look at this game, would you lean more on the run, not only because you have a quarterback situation that's unique, but because of the fact that they've been so successful when you've allowed them to run the ball? Would you like to see Syracuse come out? And I know you're a running back, so I understand, but you don't have any bias. I know you're very impartial and you tell the truth. Would you like to see them lean on the run and lean on those four guys that they have, knowing that this is a new situation?
You know what? Right now, if I'm an offensive coordinator or I'm a coach, I'm sitting there saying to myself, I have no idea what Florida State's going to do to approach us with this game. Yes, they're more of a dominant defense. Yes, they're more of a dominant offense. Yes, they're more of a dominant, special teams. We have the dominant team. So right now, I'm going to sit back and wait. It's a cat and mouse game. You know what? I'm going to see how they go. The first series, I'm going to see how they play me. If they're rushing the guys real hard up the field, I'm going to run screens right behind them. If they're rushing the guys up the field also, I'm going to run like little quick stops right behind them. If they're sitting back just waiting to see what we're going to do, I'm going to hammer the ball at them. You know, I'm not going to try and sit here and run my receivers deep because the first five games, we've shown we cannot get deep down the field to get past them. So I just run square ins, I run square outs, I run quick hooks. I just do enough to keep them off guard and keep them off balance. So basically, it's like counter punching. I'll wait to see what they do, and then I'll counter punch and do what I'm going to do next on offense.
Ashton Broyles and Grizzly Esteem, they're both injured. Ashton was the best receiver that Terrell Hunt had this season. Grizzly Esteem was the best H-back, meaning that he could run the ball, he could do reverses, he could take a pass, whatever it may be. Grizzly and Ashton were the two best options a quarterback had when they let the ball go out of their hands this season. How does Syracuse respond? Because you keep saying they need the personnel. What do you do when you don't have Ashton, you don't have Grizzly? I mean, we're talking about George McDonald's not the offense coordinator, Terrell Hunt's not the quarterback, but no matter who's the quarterback and who's the coordinator, you don't have your two best guys to throw the ball to, so who do you look to now? I mean, do you look to Ben Lewis? Has nobody stood out to you? How do you kind of stand on the receiving corps?
No one so much has stood out, but you can still work around that. You can run the companion routes. And companion routes are basically where one receiver runs the route to get another receiver open. And you can run picks, you can run bumps, you can run that all day long to get the receiver open. What they need to do is get these young men in a rhythm and get them feeling comfortable about themselves. And once you get that confidence back up as a player, it's amazing what you can do. You feel like Superman. So if they start running companion routes, which they have not run one this year, which is surprising for a Division I college football team, you can always get a receiver open. The one thing we always said in football, and what people need to understand in football when you're running offensive plays, any receiver at any time on the field is running a route to get another receiver open. So you run into a zone, and you see the NFL all the time. You're basically picking that receiver so the guy can come underneath you and get wide open. The Syracuse has done that all year. I'm not second guessing what they're doing, I'm not questioning it, but I just have not seen it all year long, and that's why they're struggling.
When you bring up the companion route, one thing that I've seen Syracuse have to defend against, but they haven't run, is any bunch in one, where they're sending three guys or two guys on one side and having another guy on the other side. So fake right because you got three receivers running three different routes on the right side, go to the guy on the left. Or when you have three guys, like you said, run a companion route, have two of them keep with each other, have another guy go across the middle, why not do something like that? Obviously, we're talking about things that haven't happened, so it makes sense why George McDonald isn't calling the plays anymore. But is that very surprising? I know you said that you're surprised that it's not happening, but just in general, knowing that just by sheer generics of it, when you run a bunch in one or whatever it may be, you're going to find somebody somewhere.
I did it in Pop Warner with my son. And they're not doing it at D1 level to try and play against these top-tier teams. So, you know what, I can't speak for them. I mean, I don't understand it, you know, but hopefully they can go out there and get things done, and maybe Tim Lester will be able to go out there and start running the simple routes like that. You know, it's basic football. You have to go back to football 101. They always say, when you're struggling on offense, when you're struggling on defense, when you're struggling as a team, go back to basics, and that's as basic as you can get.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora at Borio's Restaurant Live. We're here every single Wednesday at 6 p.m., and we're very happy to have you all out. Happy for those that listen in, and happy for everybody that's been a part of this. We're going to take a... But I just wanted to start. Very nice to have the fans come on. Did he get that for you? All right. So Rob's drinking. That's nice. Good for you, Rob. Happy for you. I've been over 21 for a few years now, but you know, I'm happy for you. It's good. I guess when you have an undefeated season at Syracuse, you're allowed to have a drink on somebody.
College, you know, undefeated season down there in New Orleans, so.
It's fair. But so we talked about a lot of different things. Obviously, we're here at Borio's talking about Syracuse. The football team has struggled. They've had their moments. But I honestly believe, and this is because I know Tim Lester well, and as a quarterback coach, I know he's done a heck of a job. I've had a lot of time to talk with him to get to know more than the X's and O's, what type of person he is, what he stands for, his vision, what he sees, and I really think he was the right pick for offensive coordinator. And it's not to take anything away from anybody else. I just think when you're in a situation like this where you don't have your starting quarterback, the man that's choosing quarterback for the game, and from here on out, the man that's going to be choosing the signal caller is going to be choosing what calls that he makes. So I think that it's definitely the right decision from that standpoint. And is that kind of how you see it? The fact that the quarterback coach is trying to find the right quarterback for the future to be the offensive coordinator? Is this the best case scenario for what they have?
I mean, I don't know if it's the best case scenario or not, but I know it's just a scenario that needs to be done right now. Change needs to happen. Those young men, you know, I look at it like this. You know, I have two young boys, and at any end of any given day, you know, when they're down, when they're sad, when they're not doing well, you know, and they're slightly depressing me, I look at myself as a father, and I say to myself, like, Lord, how can I cheer them up? You know, I either give them a hug or tell them everything's going to be okay, or, you know, it's just okay. Don't get frustrated. Just keep trying. And these young men are the same way. You have to remember, they're 18, 19, 21-year-old kids. They're kids. You know, and just they're demoralized themselves. No one beats them up more than themselves. You know, and as a community, being a former player, it's like, you know, we gotta, whether they're winning or whether they're losing, we still gotta keep them up, because at the end of the day, you know, some of them, once they get done with college, will never play football again. But they're gonna go out there in the community, and you hope they'll be the pillars in the community. But if you beat them up so much now to where you make them feel bad about themselves, they're not going to be. So, I mean, I look at it from a parent standpoint of view, because that's always done to me. You know, when I was at Syracuse and we were 0-4, as I said before, the dome was empty, and it was just a bad feeling, but I was fortunate enough to be where we turned it around and we just started winning. But at some point, Syracuse is going to turn around and they are going to start winning. You know, so you can't be one way when they're playing bad and another way when they're playing well. No, that's unfair to them. You have, at the end of the day, you have to remember, these are young adults just trying to go out there and do the best they can. They're not trying to lose. They're just in a situation right now where they're not playing well.
Do you think that that's one of the things that gets forgotten the most, that when fans are watching a game and they're struggling, they're there's things that happen that you forget that they're teenagers, you forget that they're young adults, you forget that this is their first time away from home, you forget that they're in a situation where they didn't know they were going to be the starting quarterback. You know, Austin Wilson had no idea that he was going to get into that Villanova game, and like I said before, he said that he can't get more lucky than he's gotten this season. That's what he said to me last night. So when you look at this team and you look at any team in college football or any sport, is one of the biggest sins of the fans, so to speak, forgetting the fact that these guys literally are trying to grow up on the field while they're growing up away from home, while they're growing up in the classroom. And in a lot of scenarios, a lot of these kids are coming from nothing as well, and it's a totally different situation to go from the ghetto of South Philly to come to Syracuse and have people actually love you and appreciate you and want you to do well. So when you look at it all as a whole, I mean, is that really what you see, that maybe sometimes we forget who they are, where they came from, and what they've been through?
To me as an athlete, to me as a former player, I can honestly say, and I've been doing this, I'm not going to tell you my age, but for a long time, but I've never booed a player, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, whatever sport they played, because honestly, in 86, when we were booed, I mean, I just remember how much it hurt and how much it felt and how much it just made you feel like nothing. Like just, what you were doing, the hard work you were putting in, you know, the practices you were going through, it just made it seem worthless, because the people weren't appreciated because they couldn't see the hard things you were doing behind the scenes. You know what? So when at that point, I always told myself I'd never boo a player. I don't like the Cowboys at all. I don't like the Giants at all. There are a lot of things I don't like, but I would never boo them. And I would always just try and sit there and maybe not against the team I'm playing, but try and keep them up and try and keep them positive, because it's the worst feeling in the world to know you're going out there just trying as hard as you can, falling a little short and having people booed. And I always say to myself, if you got a C on a test paper, would a teacher boo you? How would you feel as a student? You wouldn't feel that good, would you? So I said, you know what, just try and stay as positive as I can. You know, things will get better, things will turn around. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not a year from now, but eventually it will turn around. You know, and as long as you have that positive attitude, you can do anything.
And I think there's one thing that people forget. It's easy to buy a ticket and feel, you know, I bought a ticket, so I'm empowered to do whatever I want to do. So I'm going to boo if I want to boo. I'm going to cheer if I want to cheer. But if you're a teacher and your students booed, that would affect you. If you were a janitor and somebody was knocking over trash cans that you just picked up just to be funny, and they booed you or they got on your case, you would still have to pick that up. You know, and in my case, even as a broadcaster, giving so many opportunities to get insider information and give things to people, to have people critique that as well and get on you as well with, you don't get enough, or you didn't get it from here, you didn't do this, you didn't do it on time, or you didn't do it when I wanted it. It seems like it's so easy for people to attack. But if I came into your office and I booed you, like you do to a team, like you do to an athlete, like you do to the media, whatever it may be, it would be a totally different world. And I think a lot of people forget that, is that when you're in the public eye, it's easy to scrutinize someone that's in the public eye. But if the eye ever shifted towards you, how much of a different world you would see it as. And I feel like we forget that.
You know, trust me, no one's more frustrated about this season than me. But I talked to Cam on Sunday, and I talked to Devontae McFarland, because I have those guys' number. I know them as players. And I told them all the same things. Like, you know, young men, just keep your head up. You know, it'll get better. It's like, just remember, your football family always has your back. You know, you may hear the things you hear from the Met fans. You may hear the things you hear from the media. But always believe this. You know what? We believe in you. You know what? You're not having a great season right now, but that's okay. Eventually it's going to turn around. Just keep trying. Don't ever stop and don't ever give up.
When you look at this team and you look at it moving forward and not stopping, not giving up, they're playing the number one team in the country. They're playing the defending national champion. They're playing a team that's 21-0 in their last 21 games. So when you look at a game like this and you look at this tall order, it happened before in the Dome with number one Nebraska, and you talked about going to that game in 83. What does this team need to do the most right now? Is it really just the mentality of it all? Because, I mean, you can't sugarcoat it. Florida State gets good talent. Florida State gets the best talent in the country. And it's not to say Syracuse doesn't get good talent, but Florida State's athletes, Scott Schaefer said it when he played Notre Dame. They said, was Notre Dame the best team that you played this season? Are they the best team out there? And he said, I would choose my conference of the ACC every time. Florida State is freakish. When you look at the athletes and you look at what they have and what Syracuse is going up against, how do you win a David and Goliath battle against what even Scott Schaefer sees as freakish pieces of talent?
You know what? Unless that team down in Tallahassee has an S on their chest and they fly around town with a red cape on, you know, anybody can be beaten. You know what? Master intensity. You know, I remember we played Penn State back in 87, and they're the defending national champions. They came into the dome. We have to be 5-0 at the time. You know, we're losing record against Penn State. Had lost from the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. You know, everything was in their favor. They were the favorite team, blah, 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 blah. You know, at the end of the day, that's why the game is played. You know what? We just, before the locker room, we just said to ourselves, it's like, you know what? This is a dome. This is our home. No matter what's going to happen, we're just going to go out there and just do the best we can. That's all I ask of anybody to ever do. Even my own children, whether it be another player, I just always tell them, just do your best. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Is it okay to make a mistake? Yes, it is, because you're not perfect, but you can learn from mistakes. Limit your mistakes, but it's okay to make a mistake, because that's what defines you. That's what makes you who you are, because you learn from it and you move forward.
How does a team like this move forward with a promotion and a demotion on the coaching staff, your quarterback not being there, knowing that fans left really early in the Louisville game? How does this fan take the take the demoralization that they've been through, and how do they bounce back? Is it really Scott Schaefer? Is it really the staff? Because you know Scott personally, and so do I. He is morals driven. He has a lot of values. He said after the Louisville game, he said, listen, we got it pretty easy to feel sorry for ourselves after a loss because ISIS is cutting people's heads off in other parts of the world. And he really said, you know, we look at the bigger picture. To complain about a football game and to look at a loss, we're doing what we love, we're playing the sport we love when people are out there dying in real battles. So is Scott really the guy that's going to change the demoralization, or do you look somewhere else? Because to me, he motivates them to do phenomenal things, and he did that as a defensive coordinator. He did it last year as a head coach. Where does it fall right now to take the demoralization and change it?
Remember earlier we talked about adaptation? You adjust. You adjust on the fly. You just learn how to deal with the circumstances and the hand that is dealt with you. You know, that's how people who are successful in life become successful. Whatever hand's dealt, like a poker player, whatever hand's dealt with you, that's the hand you have to play with. That's the hand you have to deal with, no matter if it's a bad hand or if it's a good hand. You work with it, and you just do the best shot you possibly can with it. Right now, the coaching change being made, basically from the offensive coordinator, George McDonald losing his job, and Tim Lester getting his job, these young men just have to adapt. You know, you can't sit there and dwell on the simple fact that, or McDonald's gone, or, you know, I like Lester more, or things of that nature. Just adapt, move forward, and move on.
And that's something that Steve Ishmael, true freshman wide receiver, 2014 recruiting class, he's from Florida. I talked to him about Florida State. I said, do you want to beat Florida State? You know, is it a different game? You want to beat everybody, but I said, you know, Florida State is a team that was in his backyard growing up. And he said, you know, I don't think Florida State ever gave me an offer. So there is that extra feel to it with a guy like him. Even though he's a freshman, you played as a true freshman. Because somebody like Steve Ishmael, somebody like Darrell Eskridge, where there's respect for them as players, but not an offer from Florida State or not playing at Florida State, can those guys lead a game like this because of the fact of them feeling spurned and them already feeling like they were that guy that was passed over, that they're going into this game as an underdog, but they were an underdog back then? Can you look to Steve Ishmael and Darrell Eskridge and Richie DeGier to be some of these leaders that can change how they look at this game?
You know, that'd be the smart thing to do. As a former player myself, I mean, teams that have either spurned you or done something to get you just drilling that much more going for a game, you know, it's just the best feeling in the world for a player, because you can ride that high through that game. I remember when we went down and played in 1988, we played LSU in the Hall of Fame Bowl. You know, we were 9-2. They were like, we were playing the SEC champs. And all we heard all week long during the bowl game was how good we are, we're the SEC champs, blah, blah. And, you know, and the year before, Auburn tied us in a bowl game. And I remember we carried that torch, we carried that anger down for that game. And look what happened. Go and see the record. We ended up punishing them for the simple fact that Auburn caught the brunt of how mad we were. LSU caught the brunt of how mad we were the year before when Auburn spurned us by kicking that field goal. So you definitely can ride the tales of a player who's been spurned by a team and who has that much desire to be able to go out there and play a team.
That coming from Rob Drummond, Syracuse, the NFL, and the CFL. Of course, I'm Dan Satora of Wake Up Call. DT.com is the main place to go for everything from Dan Satora Broadcast Media. And Wake Up Call with Dan Satora is here tonight, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., live from Morio's Restaurant at 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Thank everybody that's out here now and everybody that's listening in. And, of course, Rob, we have a few more things to talk about with this game. We're going to have to go to that running game and talk about how you're seeing it and how I'm seeing it moving forward. And, of course, we'll have to make our prediction and a few other things, as well as talk about Florida State head coach Jimbo Fisher being a stand-up guy, which makes it hard for any Syracuse fan to not like or at least respect who's going to be on the other side of them. That'll be coming up on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora right here from Morio's Restaurant.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Morio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Morio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Morio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Morio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Morio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Morio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Morio's. We're here every single Wednesday night at 6 p.m., and we appreciate you coming out, appreciate you listening in, and as well as everybody listening in on WakeUpCallDT.com, as well as the Wake Up Call DT app that you can get on the Google Play Store, as well as the Apple Store. Rob Drummond, been beside me for 2 years now, over 2 years now. Syracuse, CFL, and the NFL. Last undefeated Syracuse team. And, of course, Dan Satora, been with you for over a decade in broadcasting from all the way up and down the East Coast. So very happy to be here with Rob and very happy to be talking about this team. Win, lose, or draw, there are good things about this program. And I think that the biggest positive about this Syracuse program is a blue-collar city has a blue-collar coach. And I think that Scott Schaefer, for anybody that's listening in, if you don't know the football team, if you're not happy that the football team's losing, whatever it may be about the football team, I think if you can do anything in this city when it comes to the football team, if you go and you see a game and you listen to Scott Schaefer talk for 10 minutes, I would challenge anybody to not want to get out on the field and play for him after you hear him and what he does to talk to this to these guys, how he sees the world, how he's trying to build good men, how he's trying to keep men from being in abusive situations, how he's trying to take guys from bad neighborhoods and instead of selling drugs, instead of doing the bad things, instead of being dead at the age of 30, he's trying to truly build people in our community that are going to be teachers, that are going to go out there and change people's lives for the better. So I think as we close tonight's show, Rob, the only thing that I can say more than anything else is that if you knew Scott Schaefer, there's a lot for you to be proud of when you think about Syracuse.
No, Scott Schaefer, Coach Schaefer, Scott. Huh? Well, Coach Schaefer is a lot like myself, in the simple fact that his first thought, or his first predominant thought, whenever he does anything, is the athlete first. You know, it's not football. It's, you know, football is a great sport and everything you're going to do, but he cares about the athlete first. He cares how the athlete's going in school. He cares how the athlete's going to be and eventually grow up. You know, I sit here and I look at the NFL, and with two young boys myself, I sit here and say, wow, you know, you look at Ray Rice, you know, and Woody Punches Groper, you know, you look at Adrian Peterson, you know, you look from top to bottom across the league, and you see some things that are just, you know, just abysmal and just, you know, just disheartening from a brotherhood that I'm involved with. And I say to myself, it's like, you know what, that starts in the home, and it starts at an early age. That starts at like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, these young men, once they get to college, once they get to the pros, you know, you can't learn how to be a humble, stand-up gentleman. You know, that has to come from an early age. And I see Coach Schaefer basically putting his stamp on just allowing or forcing these young men not just to be athletes, but to be student-athletes and to be gentlemen. That's the one thing I respect in my sons. I mean, I always tell them, you know, hold the door for them when you're walking in. Always say thank you. Always say no thank you. Always say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and things of that nature, you know, because they have to learn from guys like me, guys like Coach Schaefer, you know, to be gentlemen. Take all football aside, because at one day, even like myself, you're going to have to retire from the game. And I would rather have, you know, a retired athlete who's a very humble, human-like person than someone who goes out there and does the things that Adrian Peterson did or Ray Rice did, because those aren't the type of people who I want to be around. And those are the type of people who I choose to be around. You know, so what Coach Schaefer's doing and what Coach Schaefer has done in the past with the type of parent he is, you know, is something that I truly, truly enjoy having these young men around. For the simple fact that my son could never play a down of football, but I would love to have him around Coach Schaefer just for the gentleman I know he's going to turn him into.
And on the other side, when we talk about a gentleman, Jimbo Fisher, the Florida State head coach, not only has the guy got the talent, but I think maybe this goes unnoticed a little bit, that, well, Florida State is expected to recruit well. They're expected to have good talent. When Bobby Bowden was the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles, the guy that was going out there getting a lot of these athletes, getting a lot of these recruits, putting Florida State in the top 10, top 5 in recruiting, was Jimbo Fisher, a guy that was being groomed to take over the program. And when Jimbo Fisher went up against Syracuse last year, in Tallahassee, I was down in Tallahassee at the stadium. Julian Wiggum, cornerback for the Syracuse Orange, he's from Florida. His family was in the stands. Julian Wiggum went down with an injury and had to be taken to the hospital. Jimbo Fisher of Florida State went to the hospital to visit Julian Wiggum. To me, that is what football is about, outside of wins and losses.
You know, a lot of people just think about X-ing and O-ing and winning and losing, and, you know, that Monday when you wake up, who's in the win column and who's ranked higher in the country? Football is so much more than that. Football is life. You know, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. You know, it's you take care of your opponent. Yes, when you're a warrior, you're on the field, but once you walk up that field, as I said before, we're all human beings. And for the simple fact of the nature that I see these young men in college graduating, basically I'm going into the NFL, and the culture of the NFL right now, I don't like the way the direction is going. And when you have coaches like Coach Fisher, you know, around to basically to groom these young men, to be a young man and to lead by example, that's something that's nice to see.
We always give a prediction for every single game. I'm going to go to you first, as always, Rob. Florida State, Syracuse, at the Dome. It's the first time that it's happening as ACC foes. First time that Jimbo Fisher's ever been in the Dome. What's your score?
You know, I can sit here and say that if these young men are going to somehow rally around each other and believe in themselves, but it's hard for me to make a prediction to sit here, because in a game like this, I normally can bet with my mind, but I can bet with my heart. But I can say if they can get in there and get that energy going that we had, and basically when Syracuse played Nebraska, or when we played Penn State, or when we played West Virginia, you know, it's amazing when you look what's inside yourself, and you look what's inside your former players, you know, your coaches and things of that nature, what you can do. Depending on how many people show up the Dome, I mean, I think Syracuse may lose the battle, but I think they'll win the war. And they may end up losing the game, predict the score, but I think they'll beat Florida State enough. All I want to do right now is just to earn the respect of the Florida State players.
How does Syracuse earn the respect, even in a loss, from Florida State?
Just physically beating them down. Like I said, when we went 0-4, the one thing we said to ourselves, like, you know what, we lose every game the rest of the season, but every single team we play against is going to understand that we're a Syracuse University football, because we're going to physically just pound on them and hit them over and over again. Just keep hitting legally until the whistle's blown. You know what? And at that point, you know, teams will start respecting you a lot more. And that's all Syracuse has to do. You may be the smaller guy in the field, but be that big dog that goes out there, you know, and make a name for yourself and make a statement.
It's been said that you truly find out what type of team you are when you have to respond to adversity. You find out what type of person you are, whether you're a teacher, janitor, flight attendant, lawyer, broadcaster, quarterback, safety, doesn't matter. You find out who you are when you respond to adversity, good, bad, or somewhere in between. Syracuse has always seemed to do well when they're not expected to, and sometimes vice versa. when you see the level of talent that they have, the kids that they have on the team, kids that you know, kids that I know, as well as the coaching staff and Scott Schaefer.
I thought they'd take it off the board.
Win, lose, or draw, how do you feel that they'll respond to adversity? Do you feel like this team is one of those teams that you can at least, as a Syracuse fan, take a step back and say, you know what? They did something good today.
You know what? At the end of the day, they're young men out there giving their best, giving it all, just trying as hard as they can. Are they getting it done right now? No, they're not. But you know what? I can respect that. Anyway, success to me is hard work. It's the effort. It's not whether you win or lose. It's, you know, but it's how you go out there and you approach it.
And you didn't give a prediction. I will give a prediction for the sheer notion of what it is. And I will say Florida State 63, Syracuse 17. I'm going to give them 2 touchdowns and a field goal. No matter what happens, I think one thing that we learn from George McDonald to Tim Lester to Terrell Hunt to everything going on, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all have to ad lib, and we all move forward. And thank you for listening in to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora from Morio's Restaurant. We're here live every single Wednesday at 6 p.m. And for Rob Drummond of Syracuse, the NFL and the CFL, as well as molding young minds and doing what you do as far as training and through the RAP system to help people not only be physically ready, but mentally ready to go out into this world and do good things with it. And for what you do with your children, I appreciate it as always, Rob. It's truly an honor to sit next to you as every single week that I do.
Thanks, man.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 6 p.m.